Get more Nothing Much Happens with bonus episodes, extra long stories, and ad-free listening, all while supporting the show you love. Subscribe now. Before we begin tonight's story, I wanted to tell you about a podcast that always makes me smile. It's called But Why? And it's led entirely by kids. They ask the big and small questions about nature, words, even the end of the world, and the show finds the answers. There's something wonderful about hearing the world through a child's curiosity. It reminds you how much there is to wonder about, no matter your age. If you know a young person with a question of their own, you can record it on a smartphone, just their first name, age, and town, and send it to questions at butwhykids.org. You can find But Why wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Bedtime Stories for Everyone, in which nothing much happens. You feel good, and then you fall asleep. I'm Catherine Nicolai. I read and write all the stories you hear on Nothing Much Happens. Audio engineering is by Bob Wittersheim. We give to a different charity each week, and this week we are giving to Chi Haven of Michigan. Quote, "We are a foster-based rescue. We may be small, but our hearts are big. Our mission is to restore each rescued dog's faith in humans," unquote. Learn more about them in our show notes. You may have heard me talking about the newest way for us to unwind together, the Nothing Much Happens Wind Down Box. Each product inside has been chosen with care by me. These are all personal favorites that I use and I hope will help you in your evening routine. This box is a treasure trove for relaxation. It features Aversio Wellness's Chill Now, Reishi Extract for Peace and Balance, delicious NutriChamps Tart Cherry Gummies to support sleep, a really wonderful lavender candle from Vellabox. There's also a mini coloring book from A Brighter Year. Enjoy soothing chocolates infused with sleep-supporting mushrooms from Alice Mushrooms. And unwind with Woolsey's essential oils. Plus, for those nights when you need a little extra help, new strips, melatonin strips, are quick and effective. You put them on your tongue, you'll be asleep in minutes. Along with all of this, you'll get 3 mini episodes. I created these especially for this collection. One is an episode specifically for when you wake in the middle of the night. Click the link in our show notes or visit nothingmuchhappens.com to learn more and bring a piece of the village into your home with our wind down box. This method works by giving your brain something to attach to. It becomes like an anchor. Your ship drops anchor, and instead of traveling all over the place, your mind is held in one soft, relaxing place, and you rest. All you need to do is listen. I'll tell the story twice, and I'll go a little slower the second time through. If you wake in the night, don't hesitate to turn an episode right back on. With time, you'll wake less, and even when you do, you'll return to sleep within moments. Our story tonight is called Date Night, and it's a story about a bike ride to a place where X marks the spot on a hand-drawn map. It's also about lavender lemonade, minnows in the shallows, wagging tails, and a toast made while the dogs wind a leash around your ankle. Now, it's time. Turn out your light. Set down your device. and get as comfortable as you can. Tuck yourself in with all the loving care little you needs tonight. Draw a deep breath in through the nose and sigh from your mouth. One more, breathe in and out. Good. Date night. Out in the garage, the bikes were almost ready. We'd pumped up the tires and made sure both of the trailers were properly coupled to our rear axles. At first, we'd debated on just going the two of us. After all, it was meant to be a date night. But what can we say? Our dogs, Crumb and Birdie, our sweet kitty Marmalade, they are part of our love story, and we loved to be together. I didn't expect Marmalade to be a fan of riding in the bike trailer. I tried taking her out in a cat stroller once, and we'd only made it past a few houses before her yowling made it clear that this was not her cup of tea. But she kept sneaking out into the garage, climbing into the little mesh-sided wagon. And the third time I found her there, I cautiously zipped her in and opened the garage door. I walked the bike down the driveway, watching her face. She lounged on the blanket I'd spread over the seat, seemingly at ease. And when I got to the street and she still seemed content, I kicked one leg over the bike and pushed off. Slowly down a block, across another, she stared at the trees in the avenue. And when I stopped at a stop sign, I could actually hear her purring from behind me. Since then, a few times a week, when I am tying on my sneakers, she'll approach on her silent orange paws and sit in front of me and blink expectantly. And we take a ride together. As for the dogs, they were up for anything, especially Crumb. He was little and brown, like a spunky, barking loaf of bread, and he got riled up when just about anything happened. If we were going for a walk, for a ride in the car, out into the backyard or up to bed, he was just happy to be in on the fun. Birdie, a retired greyhound whose dating profile would say, "must love naps and canceled plans," was less enthusiastic. He'd still wag his thin whip tail and lean his shoulder into your leg when you mentioned a ride. But he didn't usually get the zoomies about it. We were headed out to a spot we hadn't been to before, following a map that we'd been gifted at our wedding in September of the year before. The best man had drawn an X on the map, a spot near a lake where we could picnic and relax and watch the ripples on the water. He'd also gifted us these bikes, two beautiful cruisers, mine, orange like marmalade, with a brown basket in tribute to Crumb. His, gray, like Birdie. He'd attached one of the trailers when he delivered the gifts. None of us knew then what ride or die fanatics the animals would become. But once we'd realized how much they enjoyed it, he'd ordered us a second one so we could all bike together. Marmy and Crumb shared one of the trailers. They were about the same size, though her orange fluffy fur made her seem a bit bigger. They were snuggle bugs anyway, and always had their paws looped together or a chin resting on the other's back. So they were happy to ride together. Birdie was so big, so long and lanky, with those thin stick legs that went for miles. His long back and knobbly knees. He rode better on his own. And we put an extra blanket in the cushioned seat for him. Greyhounds can get cold easily. And he regularly wore sweaters, even in the late spring. For them, we'd packed their travel water bowls and water, treats and toys. For us, we packed lemonade made with lavender syrup, little savory pastries from the bakery, which were filled with juicy sun-dried tomatoes and toasted pine nuts. Then we had some fruit, a little container of the first strawberries of the season, and pears from the corner store. There were crackers and hummus, some quick pickles and smoked almonds, and a big chocolate bar to share. I'd heard the concept of a picky tea recently, and it had inspired me. It was a meal made of little bits and bites, some of it from leftovers in the back of the fridge, but perfect for a picnic. It took a minute to load the bikes, to get the pets in their harnesses, buckled into their trailers, but the sun was still high in the afternoon sky when we set out. I had the map stretched across the top of my bike basket, held in place with binder clips. And I directed us through the neighborhoods and downtown, then down a long dirt road. We went slow. The ride was half the point. I always found that being on a bike made me smiley, giggly, and if we rolled down a gentle hill, I still thrilled at it like I had when I was 10 years old. We followed a curve, and where I expected to find a dead end, the scenery instead opened up on a beautiful view, a lake that came right up to the road, with pretty houses lining the far shore, and a few picnic tables and benches, shady trees and soft grass to rest on. We turned our handlebars and slowed on the grass, pulled the bikes up beside a table. You could smell the lake, that good, sweet water scent. And we paused, still sitting astride the bikes with our toes on the ground, just sighing contentedly at the vista. Then Crumb sneezed, and we both laughed. Sometimes dogs sneeze for the same reason we do, but they also do it when they are playing or excited. I often noticed that Crumb sneezed when a wrestling match with Birdie or Marmee was starting to feel a little too serious. It broke the tension. We got off our bikes and started to unzip the trailers. Marmee did not walk on a leash. No way. She was not that kind of cat. She might have let me carry her around in a basket, but the bikes were parked in the shade, and she seemed happy to stay buckled in and listen to the birds. I gave her a few treats and balanced a water bowl beside her and re-zipped the flap after I snuck Crumb out. Birdie climbed out, taking long, slow down dogs and up dogs. We walked them up to the water, and I kept Crumb close. He was a muddle of many breeds, and while I was pretty sure none of them were retriever, I didn't want to risk finding out I was wrong and having to wade in to fetch him back. Right in the shallows, beside the grassy edge, we peered down together and spotted tadpoles swimming awkwardly, tiny minnows drifting in schools. At the table, we unpacked our picky tea, poured the lemonade, and toasted each other. This love felt so natural to me from the very beginning, like something that was obvious and inevitable and instantly comfortable. But still, when our eyes locked, when we held hands, when I heard his step on the stairs, coming to bed at night, a tiny flutter of butterflies still bounded around inside me. Crumb tangled his leash around my ankle. Birdie let out a little hummy whine, begging for a bite of our meal. And still we held each other's gaze, smiled, and touched our glasses together. Here's to us. Date night. Out in the garage, the bikes were almost ready. We'd pumped up the tires and made sure both of the trailers were properly coupled to our rear axles. At first, we debated on just going the two of us. After all, it was meant to be a date night. But what can we say? Our dogs, Crumb and Birdie, our sweet kitty Marmalade, they are part of our love story, and we love to be together. I didn't expect Marmalade to be a fan of riding in the bike trailer. I'd tried taking her out in a cat stroller once, and we'd only made it past a few houses before her yowling made it clear that this was not her cup of tea. But she kept sneaking out into the garage and climbing into the little mesh-sided wagon. And the third time I found her there, I cautiously zipped her in and opened the garage door. I walked the bike down the driveway, watching her face. She lounged on the blanket I'd spread over the seat, seemingly at ease. And when I got to the street, and she still seemed content, I kicked one leg over the bike and pushed off. Slowly, down a block, across another, she stared at the trees in the avenue. And when I stopped at a stop sign, I could actually hear her purring from behind me. Since then, a few times a week, when I am tying on my sneakers, she'll approach on her silent orange paws and sit in front of me and blink expectantly. And we take a ride together. As for the dogs, they were up for anything, especially Crumb. He was little and brown, like a spunky, barking loaf of bread, and he got riled up when just about anything happened. If we were going for a walk, for a ride in the car, out into the backyard, or up to bed, he was just happy to be in on the fun. Birdie, a retired greyhound whose dating profile would say, "Must love naps and canceled plans," was less enthusiastic. But he would go with the flow. He'd still wag his thin whip tail and lean his shoulder into your leg when you mentioned a ride. But he didn't usually get the zoomies about it. We were headed out to a spot we hadn't been to before, following a map that we'd been gifted at our wedding in September the year before. The best man had drawn an X on a map, a spot near a lake where we could picnic and relax and watch the ripples on the water. He'd also gifted us these bikes, two beautiful cruisers. Mine, orange, like Marmalade, with a brown basket in tribute to Crumb. His gray, like Birdie. He'd attached one of the trailers when he'd delivered the gifts. None of us knew then what ride or die fanatics the animals would become. But once we realized how much they enjoyed it, he ordered us a second one, so we could all bike together. Marmee and Crumb shared one of the trailers. They were about the same size, though her fluffy orange fur made her seem a bit bigger. They were snuggle bugs, anyway, and always had their paws looped together, or a chin resting on the other's back. So they were happy to ride together. Birdie was so big, so long and lanky, with those thin stick legs that went for miles. His long back and knobbly knees. He rode better on his own. And we put an extra blanket in the cushioned seat for him. Greyhounds can get cold easily, and he regularly wore sweaters, even in the late spring. For them, we'd packed their travel water bowls and water, treats and toys. For us, we packed lemonade made with lavender syrup, little savory pastries from the bakery, which were filled with juicy sun-dried tomatoes and toasted pine nuts. Then we had some fruit, a little container of the first strawberries of the season, and pears from the corner store. There were crackers and hummus, some quick pickles, and smoked almonds, and a big chocolate bar to share. I'd heard the concept of a picky tea recently, and it had inspired me. It was a meal made of little bits and bites, some of it from leftovers in the back of the fridge, but perfect for a picnic. It took a minute to load the bikes, to get the pets in their harnesses, buckled into their trailers. But the sun was still high in the afternoon sky when we set out. I had the map stretched across the top of my bike basket, held in place with binder clips. And I directed us through the neighborhoods and downtown, then down a long dirt road. We went slow. The ride was half the point. And I always found that being on a bike made me smiley, giggly. And if we rolled down a gentle hill, I still thrilled at it like I had when I was 10 years old. We followed a curve, and where I expected to find a dead end, the scenery instead opened up on a beautiful view. A lake that came right up to the road, with pretty houses lining the far shore, and a few picnic tables and benches. Shady trees and soft grass to rest on. We turned our handlebars and slowed on the grass, pulled the bikes up beside a table. You could smell the lake, that good, sweet water scent. And we paused, still sitting astride the bikes, with our toes on the ground, just sighing contentedly at the vista. Then Crumb sneezed, and we both laughed. Sometimes dogs sneeze for the same reasons we do. But they also do it when they are playing or excited. I often noticed that Crumb sneezed when a wrestling match with Birdie or Marm was starting to feel a little too serious. It broke the tension. We got off our bikes and started to unzip the trailers. Now, Marmy did not walk on a leash. No way. She was not that kind of cat. She might have let me carry her around in a basket, but the bikes were parked in the shade. And she seemed happy to stay buckled in and listen to the birds. I gave her a few treats and balanced a water bowl beside her and re-zipped the flap after I snuck Crumb out. Birdie climbed out, taking long, slow down dogs and up dogs. We walked them up to the water, and I kept Crumb close. He was a muddle of many breeds. And while I was pretty sure none of them were retriever, I didn't want to risk finding out I was wrong and having to wade in to fetch him back out. Right in the shallows, beside the grassy edge, we peered down together and spotted tadpoles swimming awkwardly. Tiny minnows drifting in schools. At the table, we unpacked our picky tea, poured the lemonade, and toasted each other. This love felt so natural to me from the very beginning. Like something that was obvious and inevitable and instantly comfortable. But still, when our eyes locked, when we held hands when I heard his step on the stairs, coming to bed at night. A tiny flutter of butterflies bounded around inside me. Crumb tangled his leash around my ankle. Birdie let out a hummy little whine, begging for a bite of our meal. And still we held each other's gaze, smiled, and touched our glasses together. Here's to us. Sweet dreams.